This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1 o'clock. What's your gut feel after four preseason games on the Redskins and how many wins they'll rack up this season? Houston Nut spins us around the nation for college football a day ahead of kickoff in most stadiums around the country. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Let's go to the hotline. Welcome onto the show, the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies, IMG College radio, television, play-by-play announcer and host, John Lazor, who we'll be having on the show throughout the season ahead of Hokies football. And they get started Sunday night, FedEx Field, in front of the country against West Virginia. John, this really should be an amazing atmosphere.
Yeah, it really should be. I know the Nova Hokies and the DC Hokies are pretty fired up for it, guys, and we're actually about to hop on the road here and drive through some rain to get up there. But, yeah, you can see what they were thinking when they scheduled this game, and I don't think they could have even had the foresight to know where these programs would be. And by that, I mean the energy surrounding both with Holgorsen's success last year, West Virginia, and obviously what Justin Fuente did. So it should be electric, and if you're going to start the season, you might as well do it with a bang, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a marquee matchup. I'm excited about it. John, give me the biggest question mark for Virginia Tech this week and then the biggest question mark for the season.
Well, I think they're one and the same, guys, and that's the offense, because you've got a redshirt freshman quarterback in Josh Jackson who hasn't taken a college snap. You feel confident in his knowledge of your system and his leadership of this football team from a mental capacity, but at the same time, until you go out and physically execute it, it's an unknown. And the reason that that's magnified is because you lost what you lost on the perimeter and Isaiah Ford and Bucky Hodges primarily, and you also lost some of your security blanket in Sam Rogers. So I think this is a team that there are a lot of question marks, but there's a lot of young talent. So we could show up Sunday night and all of a sudden you see some dynamic playmakers emerging and making names for themselves, or you could see an offense that struggles, and that whether or not that will be a 1 week struggle against West Virginia or a multi-week battle for Brad Cornelson and Justin Fuente, that's part of the intrigue going into this season. I think there's confidence and high hopes, but at the same time, that's certainly the number one glaring question for this team.
John Lazor, the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies, at LazVT on Twitter, LAZE, if you want to follow him throughout the football season. Let's go back to some of the pieces they lost and what the offense is going to look like. I loved watching Evans. Him, Rogers, Hodges, Ford, NFL-bound, gone. Cam Phillips, I'm guessing, is their best weapon in the passing game. And what is this offense now going to revolve around?
Yeah, Cam Phillips is going to be your primary threat in terms of the perimeter game, but at the same time, he's not the same style of receiver that Isaiah Ford was, nor is he the same style as Bucky Hodges. So I think it would be naive to believe that this offense isn't going to look dramatically different. That doesn't mean it's not going to have a similar level of success, but it's going to have to be manufactured in different ways, because Bucky Hodges was a matchup nightmare. Whether you wanted to call him a wide receiver or a tight end, he was 6'7" and could get down the field and was good with the ball at the high point. And that was an option for the Hokies to just throw those 50-50s a lot of times, use the back shoulder fades, which they were able to do. And I don't think that's going to be so much as part of your repertoire this year. So that means you have to get more creative. You have to implement new personnel. And the easiest way to do that is some of the high percentage passing stuff, some of the get it out of your hand quick, and of course the more traditional run game, which Jerod Evans didn't force you to rely on too much last year. So again, you can tell by that response, guys, there are multiple questions on this team, but I think the one answer that we know is this offense is going to look dramatically different than it did a year ago.
Toughest thing about stopping West Virginia is?
Well, if you can't get to Will Grier with your defensive front, and that's the question that you have on your defensive side, because you also lost three very high quality players off that line. If you can't make Grier uncomfortable, then he, of course, has the pedigree despite his layoff from Florida. of picking you apart. So the Hokies have to find a way to move the pocket for him and make him feel that level of pressure, because the second two levels of this Virginia Tech defense is phenomenal, and they should have a physical advantage over a relatively inexperienced West Virginia core of receivers as well. So you got to make Greer uncomfortable. It's the converse of what I was saying about Jackson. The running game's his best friend, so you got to bottle that up, close the quarters in the pocket, and force him to beat you, which he can on the perimeter. But if you have a numbers mismatch and you're able to pressure and stop the run with your front four, you should be fine.
And Greer, when he was starting at Florida, had a 6-0 record, completed about 66% of his passes, and had a 10-3 touchdown to pick ratio. So he's played well at a high level. And their running back, Justin Crawford, who's a senior, who's a Georgia kid, he ran for 1,100 yards and over 7 a pop last year. I watched him against Oklahoma, and he torched them in a game where they ran for over 300. So he's a tough customer as well. The defense for the Hokies, it's going to deal with that, John, is ranked really highly. I was just looking this up. So Phil Steele's got the Virginia Tech secondary ranked third best in the country. Athlon gave him the number 5 spot. And then as far as linebacking core goes, Steele said they're 9th best in the nation. Athlon said they were 4th best. So it sounds like their back 7 from an athlete standpoint is elite.
Yeah, this has the potential to be a top 10 national defense without question. And back to my previous response, guys, the one question mark is not your front four on the defensive line. You feel very good about them. It's numbers 5 through 8, particularly against an offense that wants to move at the speed that West Virginia does. You're going to have to rely on that second wave in the defensive line, and how quickly can those guys assert themselves? Because in the second two levels of the defense, that's where you're talking about Tremaine Edmonds, who's going to be a first-round NFL draft pick. That's where you're talking about Andrew Motuapuaka, who's your senior leader in the middle and has really evolved into a nice captain for this defense, on-field captain. And then you have three what you feel are eventual NFL cornerbacks in Brandon Faison, who's coming off a wrist injury but should be good to go, and Greg Stroman and Adonis Alexander. And your safeties, you've got the other Edmonds brother, Terrell, and I hate calling him that because he's going to be an NFL player as well. And you also have some other guys that can fly around like Mook Reynolds. But you got to get that pressure, and you've got to sustain the line because you have the physical advantage there. And you mentioned the Oklahoma game. And, yeah, Crawford did slice and dice the Sooners in that game. The tape that we prefer to watch, at least me, is Miami, because we feel as though their defense athletically profiles more like Tech's. And Miami was able to bottle the liner, the point of attack, and shut Crawford down for the most part in that game. And that allowed Miami to pretty much have their way for most of that Russell Athletic Bowl. And that'll probably be a big part of the game plan for Bud Foster.
Voice of the Hokies, John Lazer, joins us here on Grant and Danny at LAZEVT. That's Laze VT on Twitter. John, players, coaches, they can't do what I'm about to do, but we're just a bunch of blowhards in the media, so we get to do this. Let's look ahead, okay? Hypothetical situation here. Hokies come out and win. They beat West Virginia. Let's use that as a jump-off point. What does that mean? Sets up a showdown all the way at the end of September with Clemson. And then if they drop this one, two good teams going out of the gate, nothing is over here by any stretch of the imagination, but play out both scenarios. They win. What does it mean? They lose. What does it mean going forward?
Well, a win, first and foremost, off a one-off, is the renewal of this rivalry, and it's a huge thing in terms of the perception of this program, which when you're in the situation where Justin Fuente is trying to get back to that elite level with the Clemsons and Florida States in your own conference and the Ohio States and Alabamas nationally, those are the types of wins that you need to sustain that. But from a more practical approach, a win over West Virginia allows them the time to try to get this offense a level of synergy that it's going to need to compete against Clemson, who's coming to your place on September 30th, compete against Miami on the road down the line. So more than anything, it buys you some time until your ACC schedule starts. I don't mean to disrespect Old Dominion and East Carolina and Delaware. There's not going to be gimme games, but from a level of competition standpoint, not nearly the caliber of West Virginia. So you're going to feel pretty good about yourselves in all three of those games. If you lose this game, you lose bragging rights. It's going to mean a whole lot to Hokie Nation. It's going to sting, and it'll have to sting until 2021 when you're able to play them again in Morgantown. But at the same time, then you'll have some time, and your ACC goals will still be in front of you, and you'll still have that three-week period to try to work this offense to a place capable of competing at a top 20, top 15 level. So this game is interesting. I'm sorry, guys. It's interesting in the timing of it, because either one of those scenarios, you're going to have that three-week gap in between.
Oh, that's my bad. Realistic best and worst case scenario for them this year is what?
Realistic best case scenario is that Josh Jackson is a guy that's capable of orchestrating this offense and manufacturing offense to supplant what should be a top 10 defense barring injury and the installation of some new guys in the defensive line. And at that point, you're going to contend in the Coastal. and try to get yourself into a one-off situation against Clemson and Florida State in the ACC championship game. That's best case scenario. Worst case scenario, you suffer a couple of injuries in those second two levels of the defense. The second wave of the defensive line isn't to the caliber of the first wave, and your offense really struggles to get that run game going, whether it's from your running backs or your quarterback, and you can't get separation on the outside. But from a record standpoint, I think the floor is 7 wins, and I think the ceiling is 10.
John, first of many. Looking forward to having you on all season long, buddy. Have a great call this weekend, but we'll talk soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Love being back with you guys. Looking for the JFK crew tomorrow at Spider Kelly's, too.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Nice, buddy.
Thank you, buddy. Spider Kelly's in Arlington? Is that where they're coming?
It's a situation. The Hokie Gathering.
Tech Talk Live's going to be there, so we'll have to make an appearance perhaps, Danny. Go check out the Virginia Tech Hokies before they take to the field at FedEx. Houston Nutt previewing the biggest matchups in college football this weekend at 1:30. Next, your gut feel on the Redskins post-preseason, Grant and Danny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.